parts of America's electric grid have gotten a workout in recent days. The lights went out in Midtown Manhattan 2 weeks ago after power company Con Edison said a transformer blew. 72,000 customers were without power for about 5 hours. And less than a week later, there was an explosion at a Madison Gas and Electric substation in the city and a separate fire at the company's substation near the UW-Madison campus. About 11,000 customers lost power. No cause has yet been confirmed. And just this past weekend, severe storms knocked out power to hundreds of thousands of customers in Michigan and Wisconsin, and a few are still without electricity today. Our next guest says the U.S. electrical system is inefficient and vulnerable to natural and man-made threats, and that it's time to upgrade the system before it's too late. Charles Bayless is a member of the board of directors of the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority and a retired utility executive. He's also a former president and provost of the West Virginia University Institute of Technology. Charles, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
When you say that our electric grid is outdated, what do you mean exactly?
Genesee, you've got to back up many, many years. And for years, we have built power plants where there's cheap fuel, for instance, West Virginia and Kentucky, and built a massive power grid to get the power to Chicago and Madison and other places. We have lines as high as 765,000 volts coming up. Well, today, all that's changing, and those power plants are shutting down. They're no longer the cheapest. But the new power that's cheapest is not in West Virginia and Kentucky. It's in North Dakota. It's in Arizona, Nevada, and the coastal areas. And the industry is rapidly moving towards renewables, not fast enough, in my opinion, but nevertheless. And so the grid, in one reason, is antiquated because it's in the wrong place. Another reason is there are many, many lines that are old, as Pacific Gas and Electric has found out. That these lines just need a lot of maintenance and need a lot of updating. The system is becoming much more variable. It used to be you'd have a 1,000-megawatt plant in Kentucky, and constantly 1,000 megawatts flowed to Chicago, and that was pretty much it. Well, today we have to build the grid for very increased variability, because one day you may be getting solar from North Dakota and the next day gas fired plants from Ohio and so forth. So the grid has to become a lot more adaptive to handle a lot more variability. And just technology changes so rapidly that the old breakers and things, and a lot of entities have already upgraded and are moving. But the question is what we move to next.
Well, upgrading the grid seems like it would be a huge undertaking. And you described it in an opinion piece you co-wrote with former Wisconsin right. Congressman Tom Petri in the Wall Street Journal last year. What would be involved in a really serious overhaul of our electrical grid?
Well, the first thing, as I mentioned, the power is coming from different places. For instance, if you were to go to Cleveland, where it happens to be cloudy for many days of the year, and you wanted to put in solar and batteries, let's say you had six really, really cloudy days, followed by one beautiful sunny windy day where renewables could operate, followed by six more cloudy days. What most people don't realize is, A, you need 6 days of batteries to ride through the second 6 days, but you also need 6 days of generation because you've got to charge those batteries in one day. Well, that's not going to work. So it's going to be much cheaper to bring the power in from coastal wind, from North Dakota wind, and from Arizona solar. I hate to rub it in. I lived in Tucson, and we only have 11 cloudy days a year. And so that means that we're going to have to do that. Now, a lot of those lines are already built. We're changing and shutting down coal plants, for instance, in the Four Corners area. Well, that gives you a path from Tucson and Phoenix up to Four Corners to Denver and even on up. And so basically, we've just got to relook at the way we do the grid. One of the big things is, for storms, is to put it underground. Underground is more expensive in the short term, but you get less outages. Obviously, you don't have the tremendous hurricane damage. I'm now on the board of the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority, and that grid was totally demolished in one storm, and I mean demolished.
We're talking with Charles Bayless right now. He is, as he said, a member of the board of directors of the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority and a retired utility executive. He's also a former president and provost of the West Virginia University Institute of Technology. And we're talking about the current electrical grid in the United States and what it would take to update it. And Charles, you wrote that the cost of the project would be outweighed by eventual savings to consumers. It would certainly be a big investment up front. But how much savings are you talking about long term?
Oh, billions. Because, look, my position is if you do not understand climate change, you probably should go back and retake freshman physics. We have no choice but to go to renewables in the future. And, of course, they have energy that is free. Every day, Madison, Chicago, and places is getting energy out of West Virginia. And I am in, right now in Lyle, and I spent a lot of time in the Westmont, et cetera, area. And you see big coal trains going in the morning. And so people say it would be expensive to build those lines, but how expensive is it to bring that coal to Chicago every day with the attendant pollution, et cetera? And we have to adapt the grid to the future. You know, all the experience you get, we live in the present. That's the only place we can live in the nanosecond that we're in. But all of our experiences, all of our knowledge, all of our learning we got in the past. And so the viewpoints that we have may not necessarily be the right viewpoints for the future. And looking into the future, we've got to go to renewables. And I think the grid will allow us to bring cheap renewables from the places where it's cheapest. As I said, Cleveland is not the cheapest place to put solar, nor is Buffalo or Detroit. But Phoenix is, and Texas and Oklahoma. And so building those lines is no different than, for instance, what Commonwealth Edison and American Electric Power did 30, 40 years ago, building very long lines to bring in power from West Virginia. You build the lines to where the cheap energy is. And you cut down, as I say, the transportation of natural gas and coal.
Charles, are there other countries who have already started this process to whom we could look to for experience and advice?
Yeah, quite a few countries. Germany obviously has started. I used to be on the board of Ontario Power Authority, and Ontario has phased out all of its coal plants. Each of those countries made mistakes. Germany did not look at the cost of the lands and when they located their wind farms, and Ontario had a rather disastrous feed-in tariff. So we've got to look at the past, and we can't learn from the past. I'm not saying we have to disregard the past, but we have to look to the future to design our plans. And Ontario had this feed-in tariff that was exorbitantly high and cost a lot of money, which caused a backlash against wind and solar. So we've got to avoid that. But, yeah, it can be done. As I say, Ontario has already phased out all of its coal plants. Germany made a mistake, in my opinion, of shutting down the nukes. By shutting down a nuclear plant, there's a lot of people that think nuclear should be shut down. And maybe it should in the future. But what we're talking about now is the quickest way to get to a carbon-free economy. If you shut down a nuke, it will not be replaced with wind and solar, period. That's a flat statement. And the reason for that is we dispatch plants. We choose which plants to run based on their cost for the next hour. You totally neglect the cost of the plant. It makes no sense to run a plant that will cost you 3 cents per kilowatt hour in the next hour if you have one that'll run for one. You run the one that runs one. A wind and solar run for zero. So they will always be running. If you shut down a nuke, you won't bring up additional wind or solar. You'll have to bring up gas or coal. And I know people have safety problems. I don't, but some do with nuclear. But my viewpoint is you've got to look at the total picture. So, you know, there are countries, there are other people out there. There's a couple of Caribbean nations, actually, Costa Rica and things, that have now gone for several months only on solar and wind. Now, they have a different climate, but we've got to shoot for that.
And briefly, Charles, before we let you go, there's going to need to be a political commitment and will to undertake this. How confident are you that we will see that in the next 5 or 10 years?
I'm not. I'm very, whenever you look at political will and commitment in today's environment, It's going to be very hard to get a consensus political will about almost anything. And I think that the externalities of climate change, although the damage is already starting to be done and stronger storms and heat waves, it really won't come about for quite a few years. And that's totally out of the local political climate discussions because the voters today are not getting that. And so I think that it's going to be very hard to get a political will around almost any subject, especially one where the damages, the externalities don't happen for years.
Well, Charles, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Charles Bayless is a member of the board of directors of the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority and a retired utility executive and university president. We talked with him about his call for the U.S. to upgrade its electric grid.